Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 259 of Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by KC.
Yeah.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, you.
Yeah, pretty good. A bit tired, but with no real good excuse to be for once. Just a couple more beers than I expected last night. I think that's probably the main reason.
Yeah.
The last podcast, we were saying that this Friday could have any number of adjectives. We'll see where it is. And I think we've ended up about bang average.
I will take that. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll very quickly mention the other results because they were chronologically first. Started fantastic. Bristol City won Leicester 0.
Fantastic result.
Good stuff. You're no longer my least favourite city in the UK. At least for a week.
What is? Is it London?
Yeah, London. Bristol will go back there soon because Bristol personally offended me. But the, it's one taxi driver's fault. but that was a really good result. And then it got even better. Southampton won, Middlesbrough won, 90th minute equaliser for Middlesbrough. I didn't watch either of these games for the sake of my own sanity. But them getting a late equaliser put us in a really strong position. At that point, I didn't check, but I bet we were probably favourites to win the title at that point with the bookies.
Yeah, I'm guessing there was a brief moment. I watched the first half of Bristol City and Leicester, and then I was at the cinema during the Southampton Middlesbrough game. So that was quite a nice thing to kind of come out of a film to, was, Borough got a late equaliser. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually remember getting a message off you that was saying Bristol City look all right here.
They were playing some nice football. It's one of those where if you're a Leicester fan, I can only imagine you're sat there going, how are you playing like this? You have absolutely nothing to play for here.
Yeah. The pressure's off. Sometimes gets you going. Mm. In the half five game, Blackburn 0, Ipswich 1. This is the only match I saw a bit of, and it was like the last half hour. From the bits I saw, Ipswich did look the better side marginally. But the only thing I can say, as you see it all the time, and this is the side we'll see it from, Ipswich will see it the other way. God, it's shit goalkeeping from Ainsley Pearce for that Connor Chaplin goal. He's as good as throwing that in the net.
Yeah, I think between that and the Smodics chance towards the end, Blackburn, I think Blackburn will probably be disappointed they didn't get a point from that game.
Yeah, I have not seen it. There was apparently a very good penalty shout for Ipswich in the first half that didn't get given. I've seen Leeds fans saying it was a penalty, so it probably was, but I haven't seen it myself. So on to the main event.
And what a main event.
If this was the main event, it was a fucking disappointing one, wasn't it? Watford 2, Leeds 2. We'll be fairly chronological with this. For that first 10 minutes, Leeds could not string a pass together.
Yeah, it was such a disjointed performance that was just... It looks... You know, for the fact we've been on this international break, it looked like we'd never played together.
Is it worth just saying about the rotation of the team now? This is one of them where I cannot have a go at Farker for this because I said on here that I would do the same thing. I thought that having a holder in midfield, a proper one, was more important than what the centre-back pairing would be. So I said, if Gruev isn't fit, I'd move Ampadu into midfield and I'd probably play Cooper. I was wrong. Farker was also wrong because he did the same thing. We played Cooper with Rodon in centre-back and played Ampadu and Kamara in midfield. And the thing that really shocked me out of all of it, it wasn't Cooper getting done on a goal because we've seen that happen before. It was just the complete lack of balance right the way through the middle. And I thought Ampadu was like, pretty shite in midfield in first half.
Yeah, I think you'd probably go so far as to say that's the worst game Ampadu's had for us.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of that might just be down to he's now spent the last 3 months essentially playing as a centre back for us. But yeah, it just seemed so disjointed was the word he used before, and again, you were just kind of looking at, Byram, who has looked good this season, was constantly caught out of position or caught too high up the pitch when we were losing the ball. Ampadu never really got hold of the game. Kamara, fairly ineffectual in the middle. Jorginho was dropping very deep to try and get on the ball. And we sort of resorted to our usual tactic with throw-ins of just give it to him and hope he can produce some magic.
Yeah, there was a lot of here beat three players, and he'd beat one and then the second one would tackle him. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Dan James, that looks like he was lacking confidence, which I can, having said on the last podcast that'll be one of those things he puts behind him once he gets playing. I'm going to say I was wrong on that one.
Yeah, I think it's too soon to know whether we were or not. I think, obviously, normally I would say this at the end, but I've just got it open in tab, so I'll say it. Like, Farker at the end of the game said, we had the worst possible international break. Three players came back injured. The three Welsh players, there's four, had the disappointment of not being allowed to go to the Euros. I mean, I know one of them's injured, but we're still four of them.
I'm gonna let it go with that one. I assume he's talking about the lads that were playing.
Yeah. Three Welsh players had the disappointment of not being allowed to go to the Euros. We had not won the first team training session as a team. We had to play this game by just pressing a button. We weren't in a good rhythm, but played a good second half. I'm pretty happy with the outcome. And I think that they played like a team that hadn't trained together. That lack of cohesion, I think that's probably the main explainer for it. But yeah, for 10 minutes, everything was... I think it came up at bottom that like 60% of the game had been in our third at about the 10-minute mark. They just pressed us and we just kept giving the ball away. And then weirdly, I think we ended up having the first decent effort when Somerville finally got away down the left side and had his first cut inside and shoot, which Backman turned around the post quite well. And then from there was pretty much nothing happened until the opening goal.
Yeah. I think it's that mixture of, I thought they did quite a good job pressing, and I thought we were quite sloppy in areas. I know you had a couple of hospital passes from Melier. There was one of those where it was a poor pass from Melier, but Ampadu also handled it dreadfully.
Yeah.
We were just inviting the pressure on.
Yeah. So for the goal itself, ball goes out to Byram on the left side and he goes to cut inside his man. He just overruns it and he gets knocked off. And more annoyingly, after he does it, he throws himself over to try to win a free kick and it's never a foul. And because he's thrown himself over, he is miles behind schedule for getting back. Watford break down the left. I think they play it to Jamal Lewis, pulls it back. Asprilla completely unmarked on the penalty spot. Good save from Melier. And then is it Bayo who's got the goal? He was then totally unmarked at the back post to volley it in. A lot of sympathy with Melier on this one. That first one's a good save.
Yeah, it's a really good reaction save from him. Palms it out to the side. I think very much does what the best he can with it. I think the really frustrating thing was the lack of organisation once we lost possession, because you had Byram and Kamara were near enough next to each other. I think it's probably me being harsh. I didn't feel like they were quick enough getting back. And then also they didn't seem to try to track anyone in particular. I think Ampadu also gets sucked in towards the ball.
Yeah, he's right over towards our right side of defence.
He's about 3 yards away from Archie Gray, isn't he? Yeah.
When really, the in an ideal world, the holding mid would be the guy on the edge of the box who probably is the one that goes in on Asprilla when he's towards the penalty spot.
Yeah, there's just a big gap in the middle of our penalty area because Ampadu's gone across, Kamara's not got back. Cooper's then having to move. He sort of has to move across one, and then when the save's made, he drops in onto the line to try and make a block as well. But we just did not get organised quickly enough.
No, I mean, the volley's a good finish. I've just realised I was wrong when I said there was nothing until the goal. There was that penalty shout for Watford.
Don't know what you mean. Don Goodman saying it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, when it's ones like that, because it would have been a little on the soft side, but I tend to go with what I thought in real time, and in real time I thought it was a penalty. And having seen it back, I certainly haven't seen something that overturns my opinion.
You should get a job with VAR with comments like that. It's one of those. I think watching. I can understand why that doesn't get given in real time. I think on a single glance, there is every chance you could think that Ampadu has got a toe to that and is the one that directs it away. Once you kind of see it, especially from sort of one of the low angles where you just see Ampadu essentially just puts his foot through. I don't know who the Watford player is.
I don't know who went down. Watford player.
he just puts his foot through the Watford player's foot.
Yeah.
And he goes down, which when you get that sort of contact, yeah, fair.
It's definitely the sort of one, if it was at the other end, you'd be going mental.
All the while at this stage, Pat Bamford has touched the ball about twice.
Yeah, which as always, when it's the number nine that's true of, it says more about the team than it does them. You know, it happens all the time. Leeds just weren't creative. The passing wasn't there to make the space, and no one was getting away from the men. And weirdly, the first player to like break the lines with possession all game is Joe Roden, who picks the ball up at the back, sees that there's a gap in the middle, and just drives through the gap, gets himself beyond the forwards and the centre mids. It's really good play. He plays it out to the left. Some of those like one against three against him. So they just do like a few little triangles of passing with Byram and Kamara, which gets Somerville 1v1, cuts inside and scores an absolute fucking worldie.
Yeah, that was one of those strikes. I honestly, till it went in, thought for the world that was coming back off the post.
Yeah, but it was a really good angle for the TV camera to be on, wasn't it? It was like, right,
he's got this fantastic, because obviously stuff like that you're typically kind of cutting inside, parallel to the goal. He's got this fantastic whip on his shots where he's almost facing sort of not towards the halfway line, but his body is almost facing away from goal.
Yeah.
And he really does well to get his foot round it at times.
Yeah, it was a fantastic strike that. He'd threatened to do it early in the game, obviously, but this one was hit really well. Like this one and in terms of the quality of strike, it's this one or the one away at Norwich that went in off the post. As to which one's a better strike, I think it's probably this one. It was a fantastic goal. And you're there thinking, but you've been shit in this first half. Like, objectively, we have been. So you're just thinking, get to half-time. And then you can sort yourselves out. And then we be a bit Leeds. Watford saying, long ball forward. Cooper gets beaten in the air. And he does get beaten, like, the Watford player wins the ball. I still have not actually watched it back. In real time, it looked a bit like the Watford player won the header, but sort of went like that into the back of Cooper. So it's one of them that might have been a foul, like sort of an arm in the back of the head, which is sometimes given. But from the second that happened, Cooper never resets and he's never really settled. He appeals. I'm hoping that he was appealing to the linesman for the foul. But most people seem to think he was appealing for offside. And if most people think, probably was. Now, Dennis is 10 yards onside. He just is miles. Dennis sort of squares him up in the box. Cooper makes it far too easy for him to go inside. And this is one of the rare situations where Marsh is right. The goal's in the middle. In that situation, get him away from goal. It gets inside way too easily. And it's a good finish from Emmanuel Dennis. He strikes it really well. It was a very... It's one of them where what the players will be going, oh, it's brilliant from Dennis. And if the Leeds player did it, I'd be saying the same. But defensively, I thought it was very poor.
Yeah, like you say, I think Cooper is slow in his initial reaction to losing the header and then commits himself too far the other way when he does get back in. And I think at that point you end up with Joe Roden almost sliding across till he's only a couple of yards away from Cooper.
Yeah. That's one where I'd need someone who pays more attention to actual centre-back play than me to say. It did look a bit weird because Roden and Cooper almost ended up in a line with each other.
Yeah.
Which I think makes, although it's a good finish, I think that makes Dennis's finish a bit easier. Because if Roden isn't in line with him, it sort of reduces the amount of goal he has to aim at.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Like you say, I think at that point you kind of thought, right, they can't just sit in now that we've equalised again. So they're going to have to come out and we might get going a bit here. But it just never came together. And for the most part, they haven't. But yeah, it very much looked like you had two central defenders who haven't played together much. You've got a right back who's not played much since January. You know, in Byram's case.
Yeah.
It just never looked settled in the defence, did it?
No.
And Joe Roden was stomping around, really annoyed at absolutely everything.
Yeah, he does have a bit of that, doesn't he?
You feel like he's the sort of person that when he gets annoyed at something, like if you bring the shopping home and he's really annoyed by something, he'll put it away, but really aggressively. I'm going to put that there and this is going to...
Hands, that's here.
Yeah.
Half-time, everyone and everyone that they know was on Twitter saying Firpo for Cooper. I was one of them. I think everyone thought it was the obvious change, but it didn't happen. No change at half-time. We were a little bit better once the second half started. Watford had one decent-headed chance from a corner and Leeds had one where Byron put Somerville through down the left side. He sort of dribbles in and just before he's going to hit it, he takes a bad touch and puts it on the wrong side. He probably should have hit it a touch earlier or crossed it, but he ends up going with the outside of his foot to the near post and Backman makes another good save. And then the changes start coming. 64, we get Firpo for Cooper. Ampadu drops into centre-back, Byron right-back, Gray into midfield. And 74, Peru for Rutter. Georgie didn't look fully fit all the way through that game, which wasn't really surprising.
No, I think probably the best moment you actually got out of him was there's an attempted through ball from him for Somerville, which is probably just a yard or two too heavy. Mm. But yeah... A fairly quiet one for him. You know, I know he's had a few games before the break where he wasn't up to much, but was still coming away with a couple of assists.
Yeah. It was statistically really good, even though the eye test, he hadn't had great games.
Yeah, in this. And to be fair, again, similar for Bamford, I can't remember him being on the ball all that much outside of, like say, him receiving throw-ins. And a couple of times he's picking it up around the halfway line. But he wasn't really ever afforded much in the way of an opportunity to do anything to affect the game.
No. When Pirou came on, for about 3 minutes, he was absolutely abysmal. He just couldn't control the ball. He just lost it. After that, he was then fine. Like, he then started to get his foot on the ball and he played a couple of decent passes. But he had a 3-4 minutes when he first came on where you were like, ooh, if I found this bloke behind the pub. He had a really, really, really terrible start. But again, no real chances. And then the key ones, 84. Farker does his go for it with three, sometimes two at the back, get all the forwards on. Jaden Anthony came on for Sam Byram, Matteo Joseph for Glenn Kamara. Pirou basically ends up centre mid. You just push everyone forward, and it worked immediately. Watford at this point are terrified of Somerville coming inside, so they show him down the left, and he just beats them down the left. Crosses it in. It's an excellent dummy from Firpo. Joseph's first shot scuffed a bit. He hadn't really got in time to react. It gets blocked. But then the other defender goes to clear it, and Joseph blocks that into the net. First league goal for Matteo Joseph. It's been coming. Like, when he's been playing, he's looked really good lately. And it's a massive goal for us, but I think it's a massive goal for him as well.
Yeah, there's obviously... We've obviously got to the point now where I think Farker has a lot of trust in him. I don't know if we're quite at the point yet where if Bamford was injured, he would potentially start Joseph, but...
I think right now, if say Bamford got injured or was struggling after this game, I think on Monday it'd be Joseph, not Pirou.
It's a really odd position now where you are still looking at someone like Joe Gellhart who cannot buy minutes in this team. Who is another one? I think. If you'd have brought Dan James off and put Gellhart on that side, would have been completely reasonable.
Well, that's what we were saying when we were watching the game, wasn't it? We thought that last change would be a triple sub, not a double sub, and we thought that might be the third one.
Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting because you ended up with that sort of central front three of Bamford, Joseph and Jaden Anthony kind of was up there as a striker as well, which... Because the one thing I was quite glad about was that we didn't have both him and Somerville on the left again.
Both just going inside.
Which you kind of figured, obviously, with Firpo coming off the bench, that probably wasn't going to happen. Firpo did pretty well when he came on as well.
I thought outside, he had an awful touch the first time he got the ball and lost the ball. And after that, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, it's certainly once you get into that a game like that where
I forgot about it, but that through ball he played for Pirou that was like 2 inches too far forward.
Yeah,
that was a brilliant pass. It was just really unlucky.
Yeah, he's I think he was very much what was needed in that game as someone who was going to stay wide. And also had the athleticism, I think, that was probably needed. Because I think pace-wise, Byron really struggled on the left.
Yeah.
It's one of those where you're watching it, and I fully understand it, it's down to the situation, but there is part of you just there thinking, why did we not just play 3-2-5? That should be just go with that from the start.
Yeah.
Just absolutely blitz them.
Yeah, let's just go full-on FIFA 98, 1-4-5 formation.
Yeah.
As long as you've got Paolo Maldini, you'll be fine. We did nearly win it. A minute or two later, again, they're scared of him coming inside. They show Somerville down the outside. But they give him so much room that he's actually able to dribble in along the... shot from an hour angle, saved by Backman. Jaden Anthony takes a touch and shoots. Low, it's a decent effort, but Backman makes a really good save on the line with his foot. When he hit it, I thought it was in.
Yeah, it's a very good save from Backman to get down and stop that with the leg.
Having seen it back with where the defender is and where the goalkeeper is, if he lifts it, it's probably a goal.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had time to know that. he just had to get the shot away.
Because we also had the odd one of the goal kick being given for the ball going out when it was a good still in play.
Because it didn't, because it got sort of headed away anyway, and I don't think it had mattered.
Hmm.
I forgot about it. But yeah, the one where he gave it as if the ball had gone out of play and Roden headed it a good yard and a half inside the line.
Yeah, not even close. And that was Anthony, wasn't it, with the header that was cleared off the line.
Yeah.
So one of those where whatever happened, it wasn't going to be a goal regardless, but it was...
It was still terrible. If we may as well briefly talk about the referee. The penalty was one part, the lack of a penalty was one part of it. But like there was one on Somerville on the edge of Airbox where he just got stamped on that was a blatant foul, not given. I think you could argue the one on Cooper was, but not given. I just think he didn't give over through. Later on, Anthony flicked the ball inside that Ryan Porteous and Dan James was sprinting onto it. They should. Really obvious advantage, and he didn't give it, and he pulled it back for the foul, and then didn't book him. And it was the most take one for the team professional foul yellow card you've ever seen, and he still didn't book him for that. Was there any yellows in the game?
No, I'm just trying to look at that now.
I don't think there was.
Watford committed 15 fouls to our 5, but it's not saying anything.
Yeah, no booking.
Yellow cards. No, yeah, buttons. It was very impressive. There wasn't a single yellow card in that game.
Yeah. I do, in theory, I like a referee letting it flow a bit, but I think he overdid it. But again, the refereeing was not to do with the actual overall result. So in the end, a point. One, do you think a point was about right? And two, are you happy enough with it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those you've probably got to be happy with a point from a performance like that. Like It was one of those performances where you then get look at the results, gone our way, just go and win. That's all you've got to do. Easy. But yeah, I think from how we were playing in the first half, and you could argue probably the first near enough the hour, for us to get a point from that is probably a decent result.
Yeah. I would say overall it puts us in a slightly worse position than we were, because we were like 1 point ahead of third, and we still are, but now third has a game in hand, which they didn't before. But you know, it's by no means a problematic result. That it's just a shame Ipswich won as well. Then we may as well talk about the injury news now. Gruev, they said, might be fit for Monday. But Conor Roberts and Willie Nanto are both out for 3 weeks. Before the whole game, Michael Bradley sort of saying, has to stick with Ampadu and Roden. That's been what's had the run started, continue with those two at the back. No disrespect to Cooper, but he was found wanting. And I think that's fair enough. And he's saying Archie in midfield alongside Kamara until Gruev is available. Before last night's game, I disagreed with that. I now agree with that.
Yeah, I think you can probably trust between Gray and Kamara, one of them to be defensive minded enough.
Yeah.
To kind of fill the same role that Ampadu and Gruev did, but I think to be sensible between them. And manage it.
Yeah, it's such a shame that the Roberts injury has happened at the same time as the Grove one, because that would be the obvious thing, wouldn't it, to just play Roberts at right back. And I think that's what made it difficult for Parker with the decision making, because they were both out.
Yeah, and I suppose you're looking at, you know, the next option you're looking at is Jamie Shackleton, who has not played in months.
No, he hadn't played much at all. I was just having a look at our bench. And
the next option is Dan James.
The other option that he seems incredibly reticent to do, if you were going to put Ampadu in midfield, is to play Cresswell. But
that one I sort of get it, in as much as most managers now want your left footer and right footer, don't you?
Yeah.
So I sort of understand it from that viewpoint. It must be. You look at some of those players in that squad, and this must have been a very frustrating season for them. There's nothing Charlie Cresswell can do about the defensive form of Rodon and Ampadu. Like, that's and he is always going to be probably third choice as your right centre back, because I think Ampadu, if Strouk was fit, is your second choice there.
Probably.
But I think coming down a division, him getting the number five shirt.
And a new contract.
Yeah.
It was set.
I think it must have been a very frustrating year for him. You know, same for Shackleton, that, you know, yes, he probably was only ever going to be a squad player, but hasn't even been getting squad player minutes at this point. I don't know, yeah. some of that is down to injuries, but you know, now he is the third choice right back, and
I mean, probably,
is he considered a choice as a midfielder?
I mean, Gray, Roberts, Byron.
Not Byron, then, yeah.
Then Shackleton.
Yeah. Like,
His contract's done at the end of the season. You think that probably that. So Monday night, we're at Hull, but there's, as with the others, there's more games. Leicester are 12:30 again, home to Norwich. And then at R5, it's Ipswich v Southampton. Ooh. Southampton have dropped far enough down that you just want them to win this, really. Even though you don't want them to get points. If they win both games in hand, they're still three behind us, so that is better than Ipswich getting anything, really. A draw is also good. You just don't want an Ipswich win.
Yeah. I think I'm probably leaning towards a draw. You get into the point where you really want one of those teams to start getting cut adrift a little bit.
Yeah.
And like I said, even if Southampton right now won their two games in hand, they're still 2 points behind Leicester.
Yeah. I will be backing Leicester in the early kickoff anyway, and we'll see if we can put the mockers on them again. But Leeds at 8 o'clock play Hull. Hull, who I've been saying have been a decent side, and because when I've watched them, they have been, but they haven't won any of the last five. They've had four draws: drew with West Brom, drew at Preston, drew with Birmingham, drew 2-2 with Leicester. And then yesterday, they got beat 2-0 at home by Stoke, which is a really poor result for them.
Yeah. Also, you know, I know it's still very close, but it pretty much makes Stoke safe at this point.
I haven't looked at Stoke at. Hull are now 6 points off the playoffs. They do have a game in hand on West Brom and Norwich, so they're not out of it. Stoke are now 5 points clear at relegation zone.
Yeah, and
there's a few, they've
got a few bodies in between them there. It's very interesting looking. I know it is what it is, because that's why you're at that end of the table. But when you're looking at the championship table on Google, there's a lot of red crosses there in sort of from 19th down.
Yeah, in the bottom six in the league. Out of all of their last five games, there's been two wins. When Chef Wednesday had them three wins in a row, a bit since.
Yeah.
Those are the only wins. So, yeah, they're really all down there. I'm just looking at the stats. Hull had 62% of the ball against Stoke. But, like, from 38% of the ball, Stoke had 19 shots, 4 on target. Hull, 12, 0 on target. So you can see what went wrong.
Mm.
The performance was no good. They do have some very good players to Hull. Obviously, they brought in Carvalho in January. And whether he plays up top or in behind, he'll probably be in behind against us, which is, especially if Gruev isn't fit, they'll definitely want him at 10 because he'll get a bit more space. That Jaden Philogene will probably play on the right. He's good. Zarouri on the left is pretty decent. John Michael Seri in midfield is a good player, but his legs aren't what they were. Both fullbacks are good, Louis Coyle and Ryan Giles. Striker wise, they're not as scary. They've got that Ozan Tufan who he came off the bench in this. If he's fit, he'll probably start. And they do have a 37-year-old Billy Sharp as well, who'll be well up for it if he gets the game.
That scares me. What's that? Just Billy Sharp. Like, I know they've got some decent players there, but I just look at Billy Sharp and just go, yeah, he's always got a goal in him against Leeds.
Yeah. They've also got Liam Delap, but he hasn't... I mean, he's got 6 goals this season, but that's less than you would have expected from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just sort of looking through their last... Obviously, they've not won in the last 5. The 2 they won before that were Huddersfield and Rotherham. And then they lost to Swansea. Beat Millwall. Beat Sunderland, but lost to Norwich.
Yeah, I think I may have... I mean, don't get me wrong, they were good enough side that they could cause us problems, but I watched that Leicester game and they were really good. Which is, I think, made me think that they're playing a little bit better than they have been. But it also means that against a team that wants to possess the ball and like sort of drive the game, they were set up quite well to counter against that, which means that they'll be set up quite well to counter against us.
Yeah. I'll be very interested in this just in terms of, one, how players' legs are doing. I mean, you're looking at... I was going through our starting lineup earlier, talking to someone about the game, and I was just thinking that there was 3 players in that team who didn't go on in... Or 3 players in the starting lineup who didn't go away on international duty. I mean, Melier, Byram and Bamford.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rutter didn't, but only because he was injured.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he pulled out on the spot.
He was having surgery.
And loving it.
So it'll be interesting to see what sort of shape everyone's in. I know Farker doesn't, even with games that are close together, tries to minimise the number of changes he makes.
You'd think he's going to go back to whether Groove's fit or not. And I'm assuming he won't be. Because there's an ankle injury and they're waiting for the swelling to go down and stuff. That doesn't scream to me fit 3 days later. So I'm going to work under the assumption that Groove won't be fit. So does he go does he just go Gray into midfield and play Byron right back?
I could see that, yeah. Yeah, I think it saves from making a number of changes to the starting lineup. I think the other one's probably to wait and see. I will be see how Jorginho responds after that. Did he play about 65, 70 minutes of that?
It was 74.
74. So, yeah, I suppose it is just sort of wait and see with him how he's dealt with that. But there was no mention really of him afterwards, so I would expect him to probably. Yeah. So yeah, I think that would sort of make the most sense. Would be Firpo back in. Byron moves across to right back. Gray and Kamara in midfield.
Yeah. That way you can have Loden and Ampadu back as a partnership. Obviously, Nonto's injured, so Somerville and James on the wings. Rutter, Bamford, provided everyone's fit. I mean, I severely doubt he'd do this. There is also that little thing of it depends how much he actually does fancy Charlie Crewe as a midfielder. But from what I've seen in the 21s, he ain't ready yet.
Yeah, I don't really see it in terms of because we have been playing weeks now without a central midfielder on the bench,
mm.
or just Jamie Shackleton, and Crewe's not really been in and around that squad at all for that. So, and not wanting this to sound particularly harsh, it does seem like it was a we need an outfield player to yeah. fill a space on the bench.
And it needs to really be a centre mid.
Yeah. And you are the next one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose the next ones were JB, who's gone out on loan to Plymouth, done well, and then he's injured, he's out for the season.
Hmm.
And then it's probably Lewis Bate, who is out on loan.
Sam Greenwood. Out so on loan.
So, like, Cali Crewe is good at step up. That's it. From what I've seen of Crewe in the 21s, he looks decent, but I don't think he's there yet. I did see a stat that was, it must have been Johnny Cooper. It sounds a very Johnny Cooper stat. Charlie Crewe's the first Leeds player to be involved in a match squad born after Leeds lost 3-0 to Watford in the playoff final.
Oh, I didn't need to hear that.
Yeah. So, again, much like Tom Cleverley being Watford manager, we are all 100 years old.
I mean, it was hurtful when you were getting players that were born
just
after the year 2000. That was a rough one to take. Anytime someone makes a debut and they are younger than you is a tough one to take. And for that, still fuck you, AD White.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the first, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's worrying. That's nearly 20 years ago.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, God. It's been nearly 20 years since I did my GCSEs.
Yep. It's all wrong.
Yeah.
It's not even letters anymore. It's numbered grades. It's all changed, yeah, man. Damn wokies.
I was going to say, it's all gone woke. Can't use letters anymore.
Yeah. It's offensive to numbers. Connie's got 2-0 win. Alex has got a 2-1 win. What are you fancying?
Sorry, I was worried there when we were talking about wokeism and then Connie came up. But Connie, with his controversial life views of, I don't deal with numbers, only letters.
Yeah, only letters.
It's
really, really awkward when he talks about his kids being X I years old.
All right. That's why he bloody loves WrestleMania, though.
Yeah, I actually, I think we're going to win this. I've along with Connie, I've got 2-0.
I'm going to go 3-0. I'm feeling confident.
Nice. So we've all got wins, which is always scary. But the other times that's happened, we've actually been all right this year. It's tightened up because I had a couple of correct scores in like 2 out of 5 games. So I'm bottom 56 points. Connie and Alex both have 58. You have 62, Casey.
You predicted a draw for that one, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Did you go with 1-1?
Yeah, I had 1-1. You had 2-0. Connie had 3-0. I did say that it would probably be 2-1 on the pod, but he messaged me just before the game saying, fuck it, 3-0. And Alex had 3-1. So, but yeah, that will do us for this. There's not loads to get into about Hull's squad. It's fairly likely to be 4-2-3-1. The only thing that they might do is, I think against they normally 4-2-3-1. It's just whether Carvalho plays up front or whether he plays as the 10. That's the main tactical thing to look out for. And I think he'll play as the 10 because our midfield is likely to be a bit less defensive than normal. If we can win this, just hope some results go our way, we could be in a very strong position, hopefully, coming out of this.
Yeah, like you say, if we can get a win and Southampton Ipswich ends up a draw, or Southampton win, then, yeah, it gives us that potential to go back top. I know you still, as you were, with games in hand and things like that, but you get to the point now where, Southampton, it's good. They're going to have less turnaround time in between games.
Now, what was Savage? It's something like 9 games in 29 days.
Yeah, it's it's a lot of football to play. And you kind of hope that that takes its effect. Going through Leicester City Twitter last night was interesting in terms of last year's talk, so that was good. They're starting to get unhappy with Maresca. It's very much sounding like he has one style of play and does not know what to do if that doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hopefully we can get into a good position. I felt like it was overall just a slightly worse position than we started. We're 1-7 to get promoted before Good Friday. We're 1-5 after. So bookies have gone with us. But that will do us for episode 259 at Mighty White's podcast. We'll be back. I don't know what day will be best. Tuesday, Wednesday, but not Wednesday. Tuesday or Thursday, probably.
Yeah.
But I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.